May it please the court. My name is Brian Hodges. On behalf of appellants Michael Derlin, Kathleen Fennell, Deer Harbor Boatworks, I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. At issue in this case is whether the San Juan County Hearing Examiner erred when he approved an after-the-fact permit allowing the Heinemillers to convert a barn that had been illegally constructed within the side yard setback into a guest house. He did in two regards. First, the hearing examiner erred when acting sua sponte. The examiner construed San Juan County Resolution 58-1977 to delete the 10-foot setback required by the county code and as imposed on the barn site plan. Second, the hearing examiner erred when he refused to consider substantial evidence in the record showing the county's demonstrated historical interpretation of Resolution 58-1977 as imposing or as not deleting the 10-foot setback required on all structures. Now, moving briefly, this is the second time this particular case has been to this court. In the first case, this court remanded to the hearing examiner for a determination of the legal effect of the barn having been built within the setback, and then later converted into a guest house. On remand,
is this the third appeal from this that's reached us from this core of facts?
I believe it is the third. I think there are four.
I seem to recall two cases before.
Yes.
Welcome back, everybody. I seem to recall two cases before that were.
Yeah. Yeah, this particular case arises from. I won't go into the procedural history. That would eat up all of my time. On remand, the hearing examiner ruled before the hearing on the merits that due to the narrow scope of this court's remand order, the parties would not be allowed to provide any supplemental evidence and would not be able to argue any new legal issues. That's on CP 552. That ruling is essential to this case because what did the hearing examiner do? Well, up until the remand decision, every party to this case, every tribunal that has reviewed this case has understood that there was a 10-foot setback and that the barn had been built within it at 18 inches from the property line. The hearing examiner entered conclusion of law 4 sua sponte after telling the parties that they could not address new legal issues, saying that he looked at Resolution 58-1977 without the benefit of party argument, without even notifying the parties that he was going to rule on this issue, and construed the resolution as having deleted setback requirements for Class J structures, which include barns. Now, that alone provides a basis for remand. The party should have been provided the opportunity to argue. But looking at the hearing examiner's analysis provides additional basis for remand. He misconstrued the resolution, frankly. The resolution states in Section 9.01 that the commissioners for San Juan County find that the regulation of Class J structures, is unreasonable to require any person or corporation to pay permit fee as a condition of constructing such structures as accessory buildings to private residences or for agricultural purposes. Next sentence, no permit fee or inspection shall be required for such structures. Now, 9.02 says that the provisions of the resolution that imposes the setback, the 10-foot setback, which are inconsistent with this section, are hereby repealed. That language is essential, which are inconsistent with this section. There is nothing in Resolution 58-1977 that speaks to deleting setbacks. County's practice after adopting this resolution.
Let me just ask you real quick then. The language before that says that we find no legitimate governmental purpose is justified by the application of the UBC to the owner-built residences in view of the cost and consequences of such enforcement. That's a fairly broad.
Yes, that's very broad.
Is it not?
And that goes directly to how the hearing examiner construed this resolution. And I'll get to that in just, I'm going to walk to that. The resolution itself does not discuss setbacks. The hearing examiner noted that although it directly addressed permit, building fee, and inspection, it stated that the language isn't quite as direct regarding setbacks. Mm-hmm. That could be viewed as him saying it was ambiguous, it was unclear as to whether the setbacks. So he turned to that language that that you just pointed out about there being no government purpose in placing these restrictions on certain structures to broadly mean that all land use regulations were deleted in regard to Class J structures. With all due respect, you cannot reach that conclusion just by saying it. It requires, if the hearing examiner believed that there was some ambiguity in the resolution, he was required to analyze it, to look at the county's practice. Look at that statement that there is no compelling government interest in regulating property. Well, the Supreme Court has held to the contrary when it comes to setbacks. It's held that there is a government, a public and private interest in enforcing setbacks and imposing setbacks. Frankly, it provides a buffer, which is the exact reason we are in this case, is the barn structure, you know, it's a passive use. It provided a buffer between a residential property and an industrial property. Changing that into an active residential structure completely changes the neighborhood. It pushes pressures from competing land uses immediately adjacent without the benefit of this, you know, the 20-foot space required by 10-foot setbacks on each property. So, yes.
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. And the county's practice in the 30 years following adoption of this resolution and in the 30-something years until 2015 was to say that Class J structures are subject to a 10-foot setback. The hearing examiner's failure to engage in proper statutory construction or interpretation is an error and needs to be remedied. So too was the hearing examiner's refusal to look at the substantial evidence. The evidence provides it speaks to two important issues, is the county's historical interpretation of the resolution and the finality of the building permit, which prior to this remand hearing, everybody admitted did in fact exist, and now according to the hearing examiner may or may not exist. The doctrine of finality requires that the building permit, if it imposed a 10-foot setback, be binding on the parties.
See you in 10 minutes.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm John Wittgenstein, representing Mr. Heinmiller and Mr. Stamos and the respondents. I'd like to take 8 minutes and reserve two for Amy Vera, counsel for the county, to address any issues the court may still have. The county, I can say, agrees with Mr. Heinmiller and Mr. Stamos that the various allegations made about the county's conduct and behavior by Mr. Durland in his briefing really get us away from the key point, which I think counsel for Durland focused on this morning, and that is the law. We think that the Resolution 58-1977 disposes of the issue, and while it took the parties and the hearing examiner some time to get there, that was the correct law to apply, and the correct analysis was made, under which the conclusion is reached that there was never a requirement for a permit. And when you look at Section 9 of that resolution, it's clear, as the court pointed out, it talks about no government interest in regulating these Class J structures. It's interesting to look at Section 8, which talks about owner-built residences in that same resolution. It specifically talks about the owner-builder having to apply for a permit and specially note and agree to comply with setback requirements. Section 9 has no such language about that and expressly removes those structures, the Class J structures such as this barn, from the UBC requirements. The record's clear from the testimony of Lee McInerney, who was in the planning department, I believe, of the county, and testified in the original hearing examiner process in 2010. She pointed out that in the UBC, back at the time of this 1977 resolution, the setback requirements were contained in the UBC. They were not in a separate zoning or other code. That didn't happen until, I think, 88 or 89, according to Ms. McInerney. And so we have a case where, unfortunately, this is the second time before the court on this particular permit issue for the ADU. The third one was for a separate garage building permit. And it's taken several years, ultimately, for the correct result to be reached, which was there never was a requirement for a permit under the correct law, the 1977 resolution. This court's consideration in the first appeal, the 2012 decision in Durland 1, as we call it.
Yeah, no, there was some evidence, was there not, that the city or that the county was still requiring permits for Class J structures and requiring that there be a 10-foot setback?
I don't think that's correct, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. There was an open record, of course, to develop all the evidence at the time of the original hearing examiner hearing. That led to this first appeal under which the court reversed, primarily on the main issue procedurally, was Mr. Durland's LUPA petition timely at that point, and the court held that it had been. So on remand, it was up to the hearing examiner under the local county ordinances as to whether to reopen the record to take additional evidence or whether to proceed with the evidence from the first hearing. And in that first hearing, the two resolutions were part of the record. They were actually briefed and discussed at the hearing by Mr. Durland's attorneys. And accordingly, in the 2015 process on remand, the hearing examiner concluded everybody had a fair shot the first time and that he did not need to reopen the record for more evidence. The evidence that the hearing examiner declined to consider, frankly, was retrospective speculation or conclusions drawn by current people at the county, or at least a current person, as to what they thought had been the practice or may have been the practice back at the time, 35 years ago, in 1981, when this barn was constructed. And it's our position that the hearing examiner had the authority to decline to consider that additional information and that he correctly did so. And it highlights really the problem that I think the petitioners bring to this court and the problem faced by the respondents is to asking this court or any forum to really go back and parse through evidence and information that's very limited from 35 years ago when things were done a little bit differently in San Juan and other counties, and to try to draw some conclusions from that would support Mr. Durland's position saying that this barn was always illegal and that it therefore cannot be converted to the present ADU use. Our position, again, is it was legal from the time it was constructed, and it's unfortunately took this long for the examiner to home in on that correct analysis. And once you apply the language of Section 9 of that resolution, it's sweeping. It doesn't talk at all about setbacks the way Section 8 does for residences. And it then makes it entirely understandable why the central piece of evidence that Mr. Durland has talked about so much, the permit, has never been found. And that's because we don't think it ever would have existed. And even if it had existed, whether through some ministerial process at the county saying, well, we issue some piece of paper anyway, or we log it in under a certain table with a number, if you don't have the underlying ordinance or legislation that authorizes and requires that, it's a nullity, just like putting a rubber stamp on a document that somebody had made up. And again, we're working from the standpoint of 30-plus years having gone by, and nobody with any personal knowledge of what actually happened and why being able to present evidence here in these proceedings. The standard of review under LUPA is clearly set out in the statute, and the examiner was quite cognizant of that, particularly after getting this on remand from the first visit to this court. And it's up to the petitioners to show that there was an error in the law as read and applied, or a lack of substantial evidence to support the examiner's findings. We think here there was certainly a correct reading of the law of that 1977 ordinance. Durland would like the court to read into that ordinance some language that says, but setbacks are still required from the UBC or some other source. It's not in there, though, and the county clearly did specifically reference setbacks in Section 8 of that same ordinance when they talked about residences. It's a clear indication of distinguishing.
If the hearing examiner's legal analysis was correct, are there any facts that matter?
Ultimately, no, Your Honor, I don't think there are. The structure is a Class J structure, not disputed. It's built, it wasn't built on the wrong property. It's on what is now the Hein-Miller-Stamoson property. If the hearing examiner applied the law correctly, the county was not going to require permits, other paperwork, or impose any setback restrictions on that. And the only remaining issue for the examiner at that point was to look at sort of the secondary arguments that the petitioners were making, which had to do with shoreline regulations and the conversion to the ADU. And as we briefed, it really hasn't been discussed here this morning, but as we briefed, all of those particular setback and shoreline regulations were gone through and correctly applied by the examiner because this is a proper conforming use. It doesn't expand.
Your co-counsel is now coveting your spot at the podium.
Thank you, Your Honor. The time goes quickly.
May it please the Court, Amy Vera, Deputy Prosecutor for San Juan County. I'll just quickly address a couple of the Court's questions. First, I would like to note that appellant, when he was listing his two causes of error, I heard him say that the hearing examiner made a conclusion of law sua sponte. And I just want to point out that that is, in fact, the hearing examiner's job. He hears all the facts and he makes conclusions of law. And certainly, I'm not sure exactly what sua sponte would mean in that context, but you know, that's what he's contracted to do for San Juan County is exactly that, is make those conclusions of law based on the evidence before him. And then Judge Spearman asked about evidence of permits or requirements that might be in the record. And when I'm looking at the briefs from petitioner and his references to that, my understanding of where that comes from is that this argument that the barn was an illegal structure exists in this appeal to the hearing examiner in Superior Court in this court, but it wasn't in the first iteration that went to the hearing examiner and came up and got remanded. And so in that proceeding, where it wasn't an issue, I think all three of the parties in their statements of fact say things like, this barn was built and permitted in 1981, but there's no citation or evidence supporting that because it wasn't an issue or an argument that was made. That case was about floor space and roof calculation and different matters. And so now here we're coming with this new issue of, well, the barn was illegal from the beginning, and see, the county admitted it and other respondents admitted it, but there's no evidence. There's nothing in the record or a clerk's paper that I could point you to that would support their statements.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Two quick points on rebuttal. First, the statement that Resolution 5877 was sweeping and deleted all regulations in reference to Class J structures just cannot be harmonized with the 0.02, which says those regulations that are not inconsistent with the prior statement. That says that there are regulations that are still in place. We need to find out what those are. Second, in response to Judge Spearman's question about evidence that the county continued to impose a 10-foot setback, I refer to CP 149. That is the stamp on the binding site plan that states that all structures shall be a minimum 10 feet from adjacent property line per San Juan County Resolution 5877. In addition, CP 176, which states that a building permit was issued subject to a 10-foot setback. CP 282, building inspection permit for storage barn. Same thing, CP 283, all of them stating the 10-foot setback. The building plan, CP 285. CP 322, barn building plans approved by San Juan County. CP 950, San Juan County's response to a motion to supplement in which they provide evidence that they had indeed issued a building permit, and it was, and all structures were subject to the 10-foot setback. We would ask that this court remand, that this court interpret Resolution 58-1977 and remand this so that the issues can finally be resolved and this matter can finally be put to bed. Thank you.
Thank you.